John chapter 15. And this morning would like to present to you the theme of more, doing more for Christ. John chapter 15, very, very familiar portion of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of you. If it is not, I'd encourage you to read. John chapter 14 through 17 are phenomenal chapters that I'd encourage every one of you to study and read for yourselves. It's a good spot to start out in the Bible if you've not in the habit of reading your Bible on a daily basis. It's a good spot to start out. Really, the entire book of John is really phenomenal. But John 15, now Jesus is talking, you know, to his, in particular, his apostles, those following him, and he makes the great statement in verse 1, I am, there it is again, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And here it is for us, that it may bring forth more fruit. Underline those words, more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, notice, much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As we pause there for a moment to think about in the new year more, all of us can do more. We know that. I can do more. In every area of life, we can do more. We can always do better in our marriage. We can always do better with the kids. We can always learn more. We can always set resolutions, which we're going to do. I hope you have. Set some true resolutions. There's characters in the Bible that set resolutions. That I put a letter in those little gift bags that I hope will be an encouragement as well. But I point out in that there's several characters that made true resolutions. Daniel was one that purposed that he would what? Not defile himself with pagan things. He's not going to take of that meat that's offered to a satanic god. He said no. There was a man by the name of David who purposed that he would control his mouth and make sure that he said what God wanted him to say, and also vice versa, the opposite. Many characters, just a few to highlight, but thinking about our resolutions, and one of them being, I pray for you as it is for me, that I would do more for Christ. Just a quick reminder, and that we will all stand before Christ very soon. I don't know if this is our last year. I don't know if this is your last year on earth. I pray it's not. But we don't know, do we? 2023 could be it. What did we do for Christ? I hope that in 2023, it was a year when you enter into the kingdom and you stand before Christ, you can say what? Lord, I did more. I did more than last year. Lord, I didn't take my foot off the pedal. I didn't put her into neutral and let her coast. I didn't do that. I shifted down. I squealed those tires a little bit, and we kept on going. More for Christ. Doing more for Him. Can I remind you as well that Jesus never once was pleased with the status quo. Jesus never once said, fellas, it's okay. Just take a break. Now, he gave them rest, and he told them to take a break physically. But spiritually, what's he say? He says, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep moving. Oh, exactly what he's asking us to do today. Paul makes the reference, and he says, some plant, some water, but what happens? God gives the increase. What is that showing us? Everyone doing their part. Everybody saying, I'll do more. Not as a church, although collectively we're trying to do more, but individually, aren't we? Individually, I'll do more. I may be the one that plants the seed. Someone may come along and water it, but God gives the increase. Everyone doing their part. Everyone focused. Everything God does in my life, again, we've said it 1,000 times, it seems like, everything He does is for my good and His glory. Everything. If we know that, then we can do more for Him. I want to share just a couple things, more than a couple, I should say, about what we did last year. I want to encourage you because I want to thank you for what you helped get accomplished last year. I presented to you in last January, if you can remember back. I couldn't remember. I had to look it up too, but couldn't remember. So several things I asked our church to do to really increase in many areas. We added our Sunday school classes. We particularly have 3 Sunday school classes right now. God bless that, and I'm thankful. And all of you stepped up in that area. And appreciate you stepping up. Another opportunity to be in church. We added 3 Sunday school classes. We added 3 new missionaries last year that we support. And you got to meet, I believe you got to meet at least 2 of them. 3 missionaries that we're supporting right now that are on the field at this, well, their time zone is obviously different. But they've all, some, one has already preached and one is going to get ready to preach in about 2 hours or so. Isn't that amazing? They're standing before people just like you doing the exact same thing we're doing right here, but in another language and in another country. We've had a part in that. We've added 3 new missionaries. We added our Bible Institute, which has been a blessing. And I'd encourage you to get on board with that if you get an opportunity. Take a little time out of your weekly schedule to set aside to be in our Bible Institute. It'll greatly help you. But we added that. What else did we do here? Oh, we estimated roughly, this isn't an exact number, well, we hit almost 800 doors with the gospel. Is that amazing? 800 doors. We got this track that has the gospel on it on their front door, or we spoke directly to somebody. 800. Now, some people say, that's not very many. For our area, it is. You know that. If you come out with us, and most of you have, you've come out with us on a Saturday. These houses are spread so far apart, and most of them have a gate on them. It's hard to get into, and et cetera, all that. But you've helped hit almost 800 doors. That's amazing to me. Not only that, we mailed out over 3,200 flyers back in the springtime inviting folks to our church. In the 3,200 mailboxes, we got our flyer. Anyways, just thinking about all that you helped accomplish. Can I say this? And I won't give an exact number, but we've doubled our savings account. We've more than doubled our savings account. Isn't that a blessing? Now, again, we're not overflowing with money, but we've doubled. And that's a blessing. We've taken what we had at the beginning of the last year, and we doubled it. Praise God. And now we can begin. It gives us, you know, this gives us a little bit of that border, a little bit of that breathing room now with our finances, and I thank you for that. Again, we've doubled our attendance. Now, we're still working on a few folks to get them here faithfully and consistently, but, and I said this before, if we get everyone here at the same time, we'd have a good crowd. We get a group here, and then this group's missing, and this group, but I'm kidding. We get them here and consistent. Most, again, of our folks, they do some work on Sundays and other things, but we've doubled our attendance. That's amazing. I'm praying again we do it again this year. Amen? We can do that. I know we can. I know we can. Several things, some things, let me add to that, some of the goals we want for this year. Again, I've been praying about this, but I want to add 2 more missionaries to our support. I think we can do that. I've talked to a couple already. I'm praying about it, and I'll present them to you. Obviously, for you to get to know them as well, and we can pray about that together. I want to add some new missionaries. Again, I want to increase our attendance. I want to increase our outreach into our communities. Our goal is to get out and sow the seed. You say, Brother Tim, we haven't seen a lot of fruit from that. That's not the point. Our point is what? Sow the seed. Sower went out to sow. He sowed and didn't place the seed. What did he do? He just sowed the seed. And the Lord said what? Some fell on this ground and some fell on that ground. So our responsibility is to sow the seed. I want to encourage you to help us with our outreach. If you have time, we go out on Saturdays, and we're going to increase that a little bit, hopefully add another time to that. Some people can't make it on Saturday. We're going to open up an opportunity on a Thursday evening, if you're available to do that, and get out and reach our community with the gospel. Encourage people. Again, working on some other things. We're still working on some improvements with our building. You know that. And I keep saying that, and you're going to think I'm a liar, okay? But we're working on, we're trying to get the baptistry organized, get this done, And just too many things going on. But we're going to get that done. We've got some stuff we want to do. Anyways, talking about that, how can we do more for Christ? You say, Brother Tim, I have a couple ideas on how we can do more for Christ. Good. Let me know. I want to know about it. Never think that I don't want to hear from you or I'll shut you down with that. Let me know. What do you think? What can you do in using your gift to do more? You good with people? Are you good with the other ladies? Are you good with, I don't know what you do. You're good with whatever, what you do on a daily basis. How can you use that to encourage others? How can you do that and use that to reach more and do more for Christ? Okay, let me get into the message, and I'm running out of time here already. John chapter 15. As we think about all those things, not only that we accomplished, but what we're hoping to accomplish now, we're not going to be able to do it, and we haven't done it without the Lord. And you know that. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Number one, let me say this. There must be a clear identification of the true vine. Verse 1, notice it again. I am the true vine. Now, why would he say that? Do you know why? Because our adversary is an imitator. Everything that God does, there's an imitation by the adversary. The devil imitates everything. There's an imitation church out there. They've got a steeple. They got a beautiful building. They put Jesus Christ on their front sign. But they're imitators. They're imitators. There is a man who holds the title of vicar of Christ, or vicar of God, the mouthpiece of God. He is not. The Pope is not the man of God. I say that unashamedly. There's a true vine. Why does he clarify? There's an imitation. There is a truth. There is a lie. There is the generic brand and there's the name brand. Now, we usually go after the generic brand. The true, what's great value. It's not too bad, okay? but I prefer the name brand stuff. I don't know about you. And you go down the cereal aisle. If you got money, you get cereal in a box. If you don't, you get cereal in a bag. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I don't know what they're called, but the fake soda. That soda's pretty good. What is it, Dr. Thunder or something? What is that stuff called? Man, that stuff will wake you up. I don't know what they put in that stuff. There's no regulations on that stuff. But the fake stuff, right? The fake stuff. And you can tell, usually, from a mile away. Just the other day, I do not know why, but I'm a magnet to certain people. And here came this female, I thought was a female, and from a distance I thought, okay, approached and said, it was about to say hello and other things, and oh, this is a nice older lady, you know, until she spoke, you know, hey, how's it going? And I went, oh, hey, how you doing? You don't know what to do, you know, try to be nice, but it's like, there's imitation out there. There's, I don't know why that came to mind. Okay. There are types in the Bible, you know this, of Christ. There's said to be almost 20 types of a Christ in the Bible. Joseph is a type of Christ. You know that. Abel's a type of Christ. Moses is a type of Christ. David's a type of Christ. And there is the Antichrist. There's somewhere around 21 Antichrists types in the Bible. We know that. Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, others like that. And coming very soon, I believe, according to Scripture, there's going to arise another individual called the Antichrist. John talks about that in the book of 1 John. He says there are many Antichrists out there, but he says there is coming the Antichrist. And what will he do, according to 1 Thessalonians? And 2 Thessalonians, he touches on it. What's he say? He will set himself up in the temple of God and what? Make himself as God. And he's going to stand up and go, I'm God. I just read another story of a man out in, I don't know where it is, I think it's Brazil. He claims to be Jesus Christ. And they put him on this throne and carry him around and he does all this stuff. The guy's a satanic, heretical teacher. Okay, we know that. Why? The Bible says so. There's an Antichrist out there, and there's coming an Antichrist. And what will he do? He's an imitator of the truth. And Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And you and I, my friends, will not accomplish very much if we do not correctly identify who the true vine is. And I'm so thankful you're here today. My friends, I want to encourage you to get into this book. If you've not read this book through in a while, you need to get on it. We need to get on it. From cover to cover, in 12 months, that's not hard to do. At least once a year. If you can do it twice a year, it's even better. I attempted to do it 3 times last year. I failed. I failed. I'm so disappointed. I need to do more and do better. But set aside the time to read the Bible. Why? We're correctly identifying who Christ is. And when somebody comes and says, this is the Christ, or this is what he's saying, you can immediately say, nope. How do you know that? Because I know John 15. And I know 1 Timothy. And I know 2 Timothy. And I know 1 Peter. And I know the book of Romans. I know the doctrine of the Bible. And I know exactly who Jesus is. Satan has an imitation for everything out there. He has a false Bible. He has an imitation church. He has imitation pastors. By the way, how do you know an imitation pastor? If his word contradicts this book. That's it. It's as simple as that. That's what God told Moses in the Old Testament. He says, if a man arises as a prophet, but his word contradicts my word, he's a false prophet, and you take him out and you stone him. He's fake. He's false. He's leading the people astray. If my word ever begins to contradict this book, I'm a false prophet. As we think about now, there's imitation all around us. There's the truth and the lie. Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Well, there's a lot to that, but one of them being free from deception. I'm not easily duped and deceived. You know, there's a lot of people out there very duped and deceived. I talked to an elderly lady just recently. Very deceived about a lot of stuff. Well, I think that the church, I think the Bible means, I think that, no, ma'am, doesn't matter what you think. What does the Bible say? And I don't mean to be offensive, but it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. What does the Bible say? And you ought to be a part of a church that says that. And you ought to thank God for a church that says that. Free from the deception that's out there. Our world today deceives us constantly. Our world tonight, or this morning, deceives us all the time. They tell our young girls, dress a certain way and go out and act a certain way, and nothing will happen. Wrong. It's a deception. They tell our young men to go out and be whoever they want to be and carouse around with whoever they want to. Deception. Because there's consequences to that stuff. Right? Do whatever you want to do. You feel a certain way, be who you want to be. We're talking about that. Be who you want to be. If you don't feel you're the right gender, it's okay. Friends, there's something very wrong with that. And we see the results of it and the consequences in America today. And I believe the Lord is right on the doorstep of returning. Clarification, identification. Elijah, he called out the people on Mount Carmel. And what's his goal? What's his emphasis? He says, I want you to identify the Lord. He makes a statement in 1 Kings 18:21, and he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then serve him, and if Baal is God, then serve him. And he says, don't straddle the fence. Make a decision. Jesus wants us to make a decision. Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. The biggest enemy of salvation, you know what it is? Hebrews talks about it. It's the word called neglect. It's not the people that they don't reject the gospel. No, I don't want to. It's what is it? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get right with God tomorrow. We'll get into church next week. We'll start reading next week. We'll get right. No, now's the day. God desires for each one of us to make a decision. And Elijah says, how long halt you between two opinions? And he calls down the fire, and you know the whole scene in Mount Carmel. And the fire comes down, burns up the sacrifice. All the things. And then the people make this statement. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. They decided that day. He's the God. He's the one we'll follow. Woe be to the shallow, immature Christian that has to wait for fire to fall to say, well, okay, now I know. And you know what's going to happen in the latter day, or in that great day, excuse me. Jesus said, there'll be many that come to me. Many. Say, Lord, it's me. It's me, all that I did for you. And the Lord, in the most tragic statement in all the Bible, will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me. Waited too long. They cried. He's the God. See, they correctly identified the Lord. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, as he says that the Lord was high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, and Isaiah lifted up and said, "Lord, it's me, how wonderful works I've done for you." Does he say that? No, it doesn't. Those of you who know your Bible. It says he fell on his face and said, "Lord, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst," or in the midst of a nation of people with unclean lips, sinful people, vile people. By the way, how do you correct your cursing and cussing and bad language? What's the Bible say? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's getting the heart right. It's getting the heart right. What do we listen to and watch and other things? I'm preaching to myself, boy. Isaiah 6, talking about him lifted up. He had correctly identified Christ. 1 Samuel 17, David comes out into that valley with that blasphemous, ugly giant. And the giant begins to mock and blaspheme the name of the Lord. And David said what? "You're not going to do that." He says, "In fact, I'm going to, not after I kill you, I'm going to take your head off for doing that." What did he do? He laughed. Goliath said, "Are you kidding me, this little squirt?" David said, "You're going to correctly identify my God. You're not going to blaspheme his name." Is it any wonder that God used him in such a miraculous way? He's a man after God's own heart. John chapter number 3, a man by the name of John the Baptist. By the way, John the Baptist, I'm just saying, okay, stood on the banks. And what's he say? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." They said, "John, are you the Christ?" Said, "Absolutely not. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoe. I'm not even worthy to bow down and touch his foot." And then he makes the wonderful statement, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He correctly identified the true vine. And friends, if you're going to stay connected to the true vine this year and produce more fruit, you must identify who he is. Because when you realize Ephesians 3:20, "Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and all that we think," you realize what vine you're connected to. The all-powerful vine. The only vine. The one that can do more than we ever ask, more than we can think of. That's the fruit I want to produce. In and of my own power, I'll produce very weak fruit. I'll produce fruit, then later it will wither away. I want fruit that lasts. That comes from him. Paul publicly confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Right after his conversion, Acts chapter number 9, he says, "Who art thou, Lord, and what would you have me to do?" We find very shortly he's already standing in the temple preaching the name of Christ. So much, so quickly, that the people began to what? They didn't believe him. They said, "He's here infiltrating. He's being a deceptive person. He's an undercover agent trying to infiltrate the church." He had to go through all of that heartache and all of that. I'm just saying. Now, there is another vine out there. If you will, go with me to 2 Corinthians 11. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 because I want, again, you to see this. There is another vine. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, verse 1, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear," notice this, "lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," that's his deception, "so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I supposed I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle." He says there is another gospel. There's another Jesus. What's the Jesus? An all-inclusive Jesus. There's something called ecumenicalism, where all religions come together for one cause. We're not against people, but we're against ecumenicalism. Why? Because this book divides us. And I can't hold hands with somebody who denies Jesus Christ. They got Jesus Christ on their sign, but they believe he's the brother of the devil. Folks, that's blasphemous. And I won't do it for the sake of what? Helping out the homeless. We're for helping the homeless. We're for charitable work. We support CareNet, pregnancy centers, and other things like that. We do. But I'm saying, we're not going to shack up, hold hands with those that teach the false doctrines. Why? Paul says there's another. If you see someone come and preach another Jesus, if you've received another spirit, we've already went through that. You've received another gospel. another gospel. There's something out there. There's another vine constantly soliciting us to connect to it rather than the true vine. The true vine. How do we know? How do we tell? The book. You and I will not remain connected to that correct vine and consequently produce the fruit we should unless we correctly identify who He is. Now, connected to the vine, we'll look at this in the coming weeks, but there's many benefits. There is never a shortage of supplies or resources as we're connected to the vine. Those of you who ever tried to grow something before, you know the results of that. Very difficult to do. Very hard, very time consuming. It demands so much of your attention. You've got to constantly watch it and water it and other things like that. What you think about is we're connected to this vine. We have all that we need. There's no shortage of supplies or resources. You'll have all you will need in order to grow. You'll have all you need in order to mature and then ultimately produce. What does it mean? Excuses are really eliminated. Well, Lord, I would have if I had. What's Jesus say? You have all that you need with me. Lord, we would have done more, but we just didn't have the time. I'm surprised some people misprioritize the Lord in their lives, and the Lord has to take some things out of their life to get them back to where they should be. And then they get mad at God, don't they? Oh, God, I can't believe God would do that. I can't believe God would take my job. Do that. Maybe it's a misprioritization. You think about today that we come back to what? The excuses are eliminated. He says, I'm the true vine. If you remain in me, abide in me, you stay with me, you will produce fruit. It's not if and or but, it's a guarantee. You will produce fruit. So therefore, why are you not producing more fruit? Therefore, why am I as a pastor not doing more for Christ? It's not his fault. It's not the vine's fault. It's the branch. It's the branch. He says if you disconnect from the vine, you'll fall to the ground and wither and die. You don't just naturally replant yourself and grow more fruit. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. As we correctly identify the Lord, connected to Him. I want to encourage you here, and I'll wrap it up here, to stay connected. Get connected. Ample opportunity to get connected to the Lord. The power that He uses, it comes through us. It is unbelievable what can be accomplished in our lives if we will simply seek to be a conduit through which the Lord can work. That's what Paul said. A conduit. A vessel. He tells Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy, be a vessel. A man will purge himself from these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. He's a prepared vessel for the Lord. And the Lord does not reach over and grab a dirty cup out of the sink to use. He uses a clean vessel that's prepared itself. That's responsibility on our part. We clean it. Make sure we're where we're supposed to be. We're purged. We're sanctified. We're set apart. We're saying, Lord, I'm ready for your use whenever you want to use me. A conduit through which God can use us. And that branch is that very thing. The nutrients and water and vital things flow through the branch. And the branch produces the fruit. And nobody goes and says, well, look at the branch. That's beautiful. And they overlook, cut the grapes off and throw the grapes. That's a great branch. No, they're looking for the fruit. The fruit. Jesus said and warned the church, in the church will come wolves. And the wolves will be what? Big bad wolf slobbering, standing at the front door? No, they're deceiving, aren't they? He says they will come in sheep's clothing. I always think about that. I often think of them having like the sheep head on them, but you can still see them as a wolf. It's not what it says. They're so deceptive. And then he says this, how do we know? By their fruit. They come into the church, they're not barking and growling at people, although some Christians do. Okay, sorry about that. But what are they? We tell by their fruit. That's the only way we know. The fruit they're producing is a bitter, divisive spirit in the church. The fruit they're producing is not a unity, a unifying thing. It's a harsh, negative attitude. It's always divisive. And Paul tells the church there ought to be the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what a church is. That's a church that's filled and led of the Holy Spirit. A home that is filled and led of the Holy Spirit. There's the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what it is. So we think through this. Now, let me wrap it up. The fruit is always on time. The fruit is never out of season. It always pleases the Lord. You ever grabbed a fruit too early? Bitter, sour, or waited too long? Mushy, rotten. There's a right time. There's a perfect time. Perfect. Perfect time. Psalm chapter 1 talks about that. He that's planted by the rivers shall bring forth its fruit in its season. The leaves shall not wither. He goes through the whole rundown of what this individual is who's planted, primarily as he's talking about, in the Word of God. A man or woman who's planted in the Word, planted in the church of God, planted in the things of God, the fruit is always on time, it's never out of season, and it's always, always pleasing the Lord. Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. So much the point or to the depth and to the limit that He would go to the cross for us. And in that garden He prayed, Lord, if this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Why? I want to please you. I want to please you. We think about some of that. Now, I have several things here, but I will save this for next week. The fruit is always on time. The fruit is always there. The Lord desires to give us more. Matthew 7, you don't have to turn there. But Matthew 7, He says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? We often think of our God as being one that just barely, here's a little bit here. Here's some change. Okay, try and get by with that. Here's a little bit. I don't want you to have too much. No, that's not God. God wants to give you more. The problem is me. I don't want more. I don't ask for more. I lust for more, yeah. I want more money and more car and more bigger house and bigger all the time, right? I want more. He says, asking. Luke 11 goes along with it. In verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We need more Christians filled with the Spirit. We need churches filled with the Spirit. I read a quote just 2 days ago, reading a book. A pastor of a church that ran 3,000 people, $5 million building. And he came and he wrote in this, he said, I fear that I've done all of this without the help of the Holy Spirit. I've done all of this on my good business-like attitude and mindset. That's how we accomplished all of it. I fear that I didn't do it without the Holy Spirit. I would rather have a smaller church, not very much in the bank account, but know that we have the Holy Spirit here, wouldn't you? And all of you shake your head, yes. Yes, we want the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would plead for the Holy Spirit. How much more would He give of the Spirit? Paul desires that they would be in a continual state of abounding. We'll study these verses in the coming weeks, so I won't sit on these points. But 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, he says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. He said, we came to you, we taught you, we encouraged you, so that you would abound more and more. Paul was never satisfied with his converts, his churches, to be stagnant and stale and sit back and don't do anything. What'd you do for the Lord this year? Not much. No, we would say, hey, we're doing more. And Paul says, do more and more, abound more and more. And we serve a Savior here, and I'll close out, that can do more for us and can do more through us if we will but let Him. We but let Him. Just let Him. We sing the song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my life and let it be. Use me. Fill me. Take me. If we will but let the Lord use us and work through us and stop trying to figure everything out for ourselves and trying to figure out how to reach everybody because it's not working, figure out how to do more for... No, just say, Lord, use me, please. Use me. Use me as what you want. Use me as that vessel and that tool and that conduit through which you can speak and work. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly... That sounds like more, doesn't it? A little bit more than more. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I encourage you again to pray that this week. Lord, do more than I asked. do more than I think. You know what I think? I don't think we're going to grow. I don't think we're going to do much. That's me. That's the flesh, isn't it? It's a practical. Most of us in here have a practical mindset. Practicality is an enemy of faith sometimes. You run the numbers, you put it together, well, it ain't going to work. Give it to God. Lord, do more. Do more. Forgive me of my shallowness. Forgive me of those things. Do more. Do more than I ask. Lord, give us this and double this and double that. How about triple? Do more than I ask. My friends, today, doing more for Christ. I don't encourage you with that thought today as we go forth and, Lord willing, come back this week and then next week and Sunday. I want to do more for Him. Would you take time today, maybe when you get home, and pray with your wife, pray with your husband, pray with your kids. Lord, help us to do more for You, for Your glory, for Your honor. I've done it, and I've done it, and I've done it, and it's the same old every year, isn't it? I get in the same rut. I do the same thing, same problem, same issue. I want to do more for Him. Maybe for some of you today, it's accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. You say, Brother Tim, I've never really taken time to think about that. But if I died today or tomorrow, I don't know where I would go. I really don't. I would never embarrass you. I would like to talk with you after the service in my office back here with the door shut and take about 10 minutes of your time and share with you how to be saved. Wouldn't that be great to get saved on January the 1st? You're starting your year out right. Those of you in here that are saved, most of you are. Would you make a commitment today? I'm going to do more for Him. I don't know what it is or how, but Lord, I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more. What You want to do through me and in me, I want to do. Father, we thank You for this morning. I praise You for these here that have been so faithful. As we consider this, help us as a church to do more for You. I know it's easy to say, Lord. It's hard to do. Come Monday morning, what a challenge. When reality and real life hits all of us, we want to do more. That's in our hearts. That's in our deep desire, God. But to do it, we don't know how. We fail, we'll stumble, we know that. But we need Your help. Would You strengthen all of us? Would You help all of us? And I know I can speak for the folks here. We all desire to be a conduit through which You can speak, a vessel through which You can use. Help us to do so. And again, all of this for Your honor, for Your glory, as we stand very soon before You and give account for this life. I pray that the year 2023, we could mark down and say, was a year I did more for You. Help us, Lord. We love and thank You in Jesus' name.